Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst. What's up, Ray?
Just thinking, you know, I understand O is taking a personal week before the World Junior.
Yeah.
He's off for the next
3 weeks. Yeah.
So, but he's going to be at the World Juniors, right?
Yes, he will be, yes.
Yeah, so he does the studio show for the Canadian Games. There possibly could be 7 of those.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Well, he tried to convince everybody that he's preparing. What do you think he's doing right now?
He's either skiing or golfing.
Well, yeah. He's not golfing because he's still in Toronto, as far as I know. So he's either snowboarding. I would make a hefty bet he's listening to the show right now. I'd be willing to put a lot of money that he's sitting somewhere listening to the show.
So, you know, in the old movie Slapshot, of course, when someone says, "Hey, Gordie Howe got a jacket for signing," and they said, "Oh, he needs a new agent." Right?
Yes.
So, I'm doing 17 games minimum at the World Juniors. I need a new agent.
No kidding. What are you doing talking to us right now?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm running that in my head right now. I'm like, what the hell do I want to, what are we talking about?
Yeah.
Well, O just sent out a tweet 55 seconds ago. Just finished up in Switzerland with Duthie. I'm heading home to Canada. So he's trying to convince people that he's doing all of these, you know, scouting trips to prepare, but we should test him on that. Once he gets there, they should just throw a curveball at him. Name 5 players not on the Canadian team.
Or get him to name 5 players on the Canadian
team. Yeah. 5 players, actually. Yeah, 5 players that are on the Canadian team right now.
Right.
Like, actually, would he have been at least paying attention to the Mark Masters or even Bobby on Twitter the other day with the cuts, yep, right? Like,
no way. He's right. Probably blocked McKenzie on Twitter.
It's filling up his timeline.
Yeah. You're getting annoyed with this information, Bob.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, we were just talking about Mitch Marner, and he's a big part of the story here in Toronto. And I don't know if you read Jonas's piece in The Athletic about his upbringing and, you know, I've noticed some backlash to the idea that this was, you know, how he's proved all the doubters wrong when he went 4th overall in the draft.
That's the only thing. I don't think there was a lot of doubters. Like, when you're 4th overall, there's expectations.
Yes, and he literally, this is not me being, you know, crazy Leaf guy. He put forth one of the all-time great junior seasons in terms of hardware.
Right.
He won the OHL MVP, the OHL Playoff MVP, the Memorial Cup MVP, the CHL Player of the Year.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this wasn't a 7th-round pick who kind of blossomed at 23.
The story is, you know, I think you said, Brian, it's not that uncommon in Canada to hear stories of, you know, parents going to great lengths to try and enhance their son or daughter's athletic career. The problem is somebody will be Mitch, right? Like, somebody will be Mitch Marner, and that makes a whole bunch of people that aren't even in the ballpark think that they could be.
Yes.
And you can go, I know lots of people, you could get them to go to hundreds of hours of power skating school, and they'll be a better skater, but they'll never be as agile as Mitch. Or they'll never have a shot like Austin Matthews. You could go to the same trainer, shoot the same number of pucks, and not shoot the puck like Austin Matthews.
Yep.
You just can't. Otherwise, everybody would do it, and everybody would be the same. So, yeah, it's crazy as all heck, but I see it in soccer with my little guys. I've seen it in hockey through decades and decades of it. And parents, of course, they're all in a lot of times about their kids. And they're supposed to be the breath of reason, and I don't know that that's always the case.
No, it's a very valid point. You know, it's almost dangerous to tell these stories. Now, it's your own right. You know, you it's your kid, it's your money, you do whatever you want with it. And, you know, there's some backlash about some of the things Mitch Marner's dad, Paul Marner, had to say. But I'm not surprised by that at all. He loves his kid, and he thinks his kid's a great player, which he is.
Right.
And every parent's going to think that. So I don't chastise Paul Marner for being like, listen, I think he's this, that, the other. Right. He should get this, that, the other. I would almost question him if he didn't think that way. I think every parent is going to be programmed that way. So I have no issues with him pumping the tires of his kid. Of course he's going to do that. But to your point about how other parents are going to read this, oh, Mitch was doing that at four, then my kid's got to do it at four.
I think it's crazy. Like at that age, I personally do. Like that's, and you can see talent in a kid. I think Mitch Marner, even with that type of stuff, would still be a special player. Like the guys,
you're born with talent.
You're born with talent, and how you do it. And I'm not suggesting that Paul Marner's crazy. I just think that what I'm saying is like the copycat. If my son's 15 months old, if I want him, I would never do it. No, and I don't even know if I want to put him on the ice. Like I just if he chooses, great. If he doesn't, but I don't know how many times I hear stories about parents that spend $6,000 on a goalie camp for an 8-year old, and I'm like, you're not going to be Carey Price by nine. Like let the kid play catch in the backyard. Like I don't know because I don't have an 8-year old in hockey right now, but I guarantee you, I would bet my life on it. I'm not spending $6,000 on a goalie camp, and you know who's not turning it down? The goalie instructors or the personal trainers or who are training these young kids at that age.
Well, one of the discussion points you get into is, well, yeah, but my kid loves it so much that you've just got to provide for him. Or provide the opportunity for him. I understand that. So now I'll give you an example. Yesterday, it's Sunday afternoon. In Vancouver, they play soccer most of the year.
Yeah.
They take mid-December to kind of the middle part of January off. So my 12-year-old, he's a pretty good little athlete. So he plays soccer. He hasn't been on the field in 3 weeks because it's the off time of the year. And so yesterday he's getting the itch and he said, okay, let's go to the field and we can go kick the ball. So me and Reese, the 9-year-old, and Riley, the 12-year-old, we go to the field. As we're leaving, Cammy says the same thing all the time. Hey, remember you guys, this isn't practice. So in other words, go have fun.
Right. Yeah.
Now, I don't know what these guys are going to turn out to as soccer players. They love to play. Riley said when we got on the field, oh, my God, I miss this so much. It's so much fun. Well, good. So we went and we kicked the ball. We started at 4 o'clock. By 4:45, you couldn't even see the net. It was so dark. They didn't care. They were just kicking the ball all over the place and making little plays up and having fun. And I'm like, and then I read this story today. And, again, Mitch is a prodigy. This is not normal.
Right.
To be like him or to be like some of these other fantastic players. Like, I don't know if you guys remember the story last year that came out about Evgeny Kuznetsov playing in the far, far, far east of Russia. It's an amazing story. But these guys are outliers. And you can say, yeah, but I'm going to give my son every chance to do that, or my daughter every chance to do that. Great. But don't bankrupt your family. Don't bankrupt everything else that he's doing or she's doing to put everything into a fail or pass about being an athlete. Put it into a fail or pass about being a good person. Because the other stuff's going to come. The people that are pro athletes who have kids, they're the least, in most cases, to push their kids. They want them just to play and to just what you said, Noodles. If they like it, awesome. Fantastic. And we'll keep going. And if they don't, we'll find something else to do.
Yeah.
No.
So you weren't yesterday on the soccer course, pulled out a bunch of cones and had the kids running around cones.
Ray's got a whistle. Ray's whistling at his kids.
I get to do two things there. I get to play goal, which if you've ever tried to play goal in soccer, I can't even stop those guys.
The
I mean,
worst.
They're ventilating me. And the other is, if they miss the net, they'll just go grab another ball. And pretty soon I look, there's like six balls lying in the corner of the field. They're not even going to get them. Now I got to go get, well, I don't got to, but I'm like, nah, yeah, so I run over there. I'm like a golden retriever out there. It's basically what I do.
We've got a world junior correspondent on the phone that wants to contribute to the conversation. He's a busy guy. I think he just landed from Switzerland, I believe. And
calling in.
You want to hear from this guy?
Let's hear our junior correspondent.
Our junior correspondent. All right, go ahead. Take your shots.
Guys, I'm just saying, like, if my reception's bad, I mean, Switzerland, me and Duffy just did some interviews with the coaches there. if it goes bad, just hang up like you usually want to do.
Yeah.
So we're just heading back to Canada and looking forward to the juniors in Vancouver. Looking forward to seeing Ray and everybody. And I was actually listening to you guys chirp me, and a little bit unfair, but just trying to work hard, right?
Well, that's all you can do,
yeah,
right?
That's all you do.
How's Christian Volvan doing?
He is fantastic. I
can... Which way does he shoot?
Is he a human being or a robot?
He's a goalie.
Is that true?
He's the coach. Yeah.
Now,
this is gonna
my information from Mark Masters that said he was a goalie, so I apologize about that.
You throw Masters under the bus.
Exactly.
Is that, Ray, is that the coach, the Switzerland coach from last year?
Same guy, you betcha.
Wow, I love that guy.
That guy was our best quote.
Yeah. And he'll be back. He'll be back at it again, I'll tell you. Is my phone doing this thing again? Why? You know what?
That's your car door, you donkey.
No, it's not the car door. I mean, when you park, for whatever reason, I guess it, not for whatever reason, the car shuts off, like when you idle, and then it starts up again. Well, I parked in my driveway, and it shut off.
Well,
I don't get it.
You're still all
technology.
Good. You guys are good. We got two clear cell receptions here. I'm actually very,
it's
surprised,
going very well,
but very
going
excited
very well.
About this.
Well, especially one from Switzerland.
No kidding. The mountains? I mean, we got mountains in Vancouver, mountains in Switzerland.
It could have been. I mean, Dave Haxtell, if we had him on Skype, that would have really been perfect, eh?
No kidding.
Well, did the Flyers ever handle that smoothly?
Well, you were tweeting about it on Saturday, though, Ray. Like, that was, wasn't this the most obvious firing in the history of the NHL? I mean, they should have just fired him when they fired Hextall. Everyone knew this was coming.
Well, he was in a terrible spot. Like, obviously, Chuck Fletcher is going to come in and he's going to hire his own coach, in particular because the year's gone the way that it's gone. But after the game, you know, they were terrible out here in Vancouver. Like, they just looked. Well, they looked like shell-shocked is what they look like. And then yesterday, this is where I hope people realize there's some people that are real insiders and there's a bunch of people that spew crap all over the place. So apparently Chuck Fletcher hasn't talked to Joel Quenneville in 2 years.
Well, so
yeah, they were announcing.
Yeah, he's not taking over the job tomorrow night.
He's not going to be behind the bench tomorrow night. And so... Scott Gordon's been brought up from the American League team, but it seems like it should have been a lot cleaner of an announcement than the way that it all went down.
Oh, you want to throw out a hot take on that or what?
No, I tweeted today. I mean, that's a butchering of a firing. I mean, there was rumors the other day that they fired the guy, but then other people were saying, no, it actually hasn't happened. Like, regardless of what you think of the coach, you don't do that to people. You just fire him or you don't. You don't. I mean, we lived this like 3 or 4 years ago with the Leafs. I mean, the Philadelphia Flyers, they're going through the same mess. Wasn't it kind of similar? Like, who's going to be the coach? Who is doing this? It's just, it's embarrassing.
Yeah, and the team kind of knows it too. That's what it feels like to me watching them play. They know that there's serious change around the corner. So, you know, now they got to be pros, but that's just, it seems like it's human nature because they got some talent on that team, but they're doing nothing. Like Philly
is doing
nothing.
And by the way,
nothing.
Brian, why would Joel Quenneville? The rumors are about Joel Quenneville. Why would he want to sacrifice his own legacy and say, "I got to turn this ship around in what, like 4 months"? He's not that stupid. He'll sit in the weeds and he'll say, "You make adjustments, get me a goaltender. I don't know if this kid." And what a thing to do to this kid, the goaltender Carter Hart they brought up. Where it's like, you're the next thing, but he hasn't even played well in the American League. So now he's supposed to save the franchise? I mean, Jamie can talk on that, but I don't know if that's really fair. He hasn't put up numbers there, so now it's on him, and he's probably crapping his pants. This has been a goaltender graveyard for 25 years, so what a mess.
Well, Noodles, you came out as a young guy, right?
Yep.
And when you first got to the NHL, like, what could that have looked like compared to the shots you were facing in Capital District? And now Carter Hart's supposed to be the savior here? I'd assume it's it's a bigger step than any other position to make.
It's a bigger step. Some guys adjust a little quicker because at the NHL level, there's a lot more responsibility, so there's a lot more trust technically. For example, if a shot's coming, the goaltender's responsible for it, the back door, the defenseman's responsible for it. At lower levels, the play is a lot more scrambly, so the NHL is supposed to be cut and dry, but Philly's not there yet as a team in front of them. They're still giving up high quality chances. They're still like they're a team that needs a lot more structure in front of them. So I think Hart's got a chance to be a really good goaltender. But my worry is he has a good week, and then they're going to force feed him to be there the whole time. I still think he needs to grow. And I saw you battling with somebody on Twitter, Ray, about his numbers. Well, yeah, the last four games he's been really good, but before that, he's still learning to be a pro, and I think it's a real tough situation to put him in because he's supposed to be the savior. What if he doesn't save them?
Right?
Could it put his development back?
And that's a fan base that is jaded with goaltenders anyway. You know,
correct.
Like they're,
right.
They're programmed to think this isn't going to work out, which is a psyche that a lot of fan bases are familiar with. But if this guy comes up and struggles, doesn't mean his career is over. Right. But you know how they're going to react in Philly. Now here we go again.
Here we go again.
Yeah.
So. Well, the one thing that might be an advantage for him, I just thought of this, is that the coach now, Scott Gordon, that was his coach last week.
Right.
Right.
Do you think that's a coincidence? I mean, they had injuries, but do you think they were waiting to make this move? Like, kind of, we're going to bring him up as a coach, and at the same time, we'll bring up the goalie?
Geez, I don't know. But what did they end up with? Three other guys hurt in goal. I mean, Stolarz got hurt the other day, too. Man, not only is their goaltending position no good, it's a MASH unit right now, too.
Well, and they're not rushing to get back into the lineup either.
You mean to tell me when you guys are getting ventilated, nobody's saying, "Hey, I should get back and play goal"?
Yeah, like I would make sure. Like there's not a chance. You're like, "Oh, I've got to force my way back into that lineup right now." I think Philly's a better team than they show. I really do. I think there's some talent there. I think there's some top end talent, but it's not working. They can't get a save. It's like St. Louis. They can't get a save when they need it, and the team is just, the confidence is shot, and they need a change there. I don't think Scott Gordon's going to come in and shake the world up, but if Carter Hart can just give them a save, maybe they can feed off of it. And I'm seeing the same thing in St. Louis right now. That team is struggling.
Yeah, they're a mess. I mean, they can't get out of the first 5 minutes. What are they, two of their last three home games, they lost, what did they lose, 7-2?
Yeah.
I mean, like, holy smokes, what a terrible run they're on. That's it seems like it's unfixable right now.
Well, I mean, we still got a lot of runway here,
Yep.
There's a lot of season left. We're not even at the World Juniors yet.
I know it's late in Switzerland right now. What time is it?
Are you still awake, though? We haven't heard from you in a couple minutes.
Yeah, it's like 4 in the morning here. Bobby McKenzie and Duffy, they're like rolling around.
Is Duffy still wearing that weird outfit from the other night?
How good did him and Dregs look in those outfits?
Outstanding.
They're idiots. Like, if I find out they got paid for that, I quit life.
They should get paid for that.
Yeah.
Did they get paid for that?
I don't know. I kind of feel like the what is it, the Canadian National Ballet or something like that? They've worked this out perfectly.
They did that for PR?
Well, exactly. You know everyone at TSN is going to talk about it. The Leafs are doing it soon, Matthews and Marner.
Are they going to wear the exact same suits those two jokers were wearing?
God, I hope not.
I would
Aaron
assume.
Aaron Dreger and James Duffy, that was the worst thing I've ever seen in my life.
The Nutcracker. Well,
yeah.
What are you going to do? All right, buddy. Well, both of you guys, we'll let you guys get back to your prep. I mean, the games they're getting real close. We're down to the day now. I mean,
I have a meeting downtown Vancouver tomorrow with Ray at a boardroom. We're going to record notes and break down stuff. So thanks for having me, guys. And we'll chat soon.
You got it. There's Jeff O'Neill.
See you tomorrow.
Yeah.
All right, Ray. We'll let you go, too, because you've got a lot of prep, too, I'm sure.
Yeah. See you later.
Yeah. We'll chat tomorrow. There's Ray Ferraro and Jeff O'Neill. Wow, we had two former NHLers on our show.
Yeah, that's
Ray Ferraro, who joins us daily, and Jeff O'Neill, who was a Leaf for a couple of years. And I think he was in Carolina for a while.
Yeah.
It's great to catch up with him. I wonder what he's doing these days.
He recently had his own tribute.
That's right. I saw that on Twitter. It's very important stuff.
Yeah.
Ray and O joined us on the Maple Toyota Hotline.